Welcome back to House of Bravo, your weekly Bravo recap with a cosmic twist. I'm Emma, an astrocartographer and human design reader.
And I'm Tasha, an intuitive astrologer, also known as the agent of Pluto.
What a week. Another week, yes. Another what a week. Yeah. Nope. Oh. For those of you who might have been listening since the beginning, you might have heard a little cat in the back named Sasha. Unfortunately, Sasha had to go yesterday. And I know what you're all thinking. It's so crazy. Go process. Go chill. Like, why are you getting on and doing an episode? But if I know Sasha, I know Sasha would have wanted me to get off my ass, get him some churros, go record, live life literally till the last moment till you gotta go. And so here I am honoring this episode for Sasha. I love you very much, and I can't wait to reunite with you in another lifetime. But other than that, I'm incredibly thankful to be talking to you about Bravo, because nothing helps depression quite like chatting about reality TV these days, honestly.
Oh my god, it's so true, because Tasha and I have both been crying about this this morning. Sasha was our third co-host. But yes, we took a break in between our chat this morning and getting on to record, and I was watching Southern Charm, and Craig was at Pat's house. She was having one of her gentlemen's parties, and in the span of the evening, Craig spills wine on a $45,000 couch, breaks a $25,000 18th century chair, and then he stands up and it turns out his zipper is open because it broke on the way over. His pants is like fly was just down the whole evening. So like, oh god, I did get some chuckles in.
The only thing I've watched since putting Sasha down yesterday has actually been OC today. So like, I'm like, yes, doppelganger party. Yes, are you about relationship? Yes, like, who did you actually think was like the best doppelganger?
Oh my god, hands down, Tamra. She was such a good Heather, just in the way she put herself together with the wig and the makeup, but her mannerisms and her little walk and like everything was just so embodied Heather.
Oh yeah, I mean, that Leo Jupiter and like Leo Moon, I think, Tamra, yeah, her Jupiter and Leo Moon, like, clearly came out. She's such a good actor, performer, like, you know, she can definitely put on a costume and rock it. I feel like Leos are really good at that. Actually, this is personal experience. I do have a friend who is a Leo sun and moon, and she fucking loves to put on a good costume. Like, she crushes it always.
Yeah. I also thought Emily was a good runner-up, though, as Shannon.
Oh my, you know what? Emily, like, embodied the essence of Shannon. That was so funny. And I mean, at the end, it was really funny for them to be also arguing, you know, her dressed up as Shannon, arguing at Shannon.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Incredible. I mean, talk about, like, a Venus retrograde Leo symbolic moment, right? Like, yourself showing your inward self at you, reflecting like all these things. Oh my god, too funny.
I thought it was a really fun idea for a party, something to mix it up. I think we've seen it once before, maybe. I don't remember which franchise did it.
Did you think that Shannon was being shady picking a version of Emily that was from her most, let's say, from her one of her lows?
Oh, Gina of Gina.
Oh yeah, sorry, Gina, my bad.
I didn't think so, because I thought Gina looked cute at that reunion. Like, she looked, it was like her hair finally looked good after her hair had been looking like real janky for a while. I don't know. I thought it was fun shade. What about you?
That's bullshit. I mean, they've got something going on though, right? Like from Watch What that Watch What Happens Live episode where they both wore the same skirt and like shade was thrown on. Like, I don't know, there's like something going on, and I'm like curious to see if there's anything actually going on in their charts to account for this kind of like if there's any sort of like annoyances.
Yes, let's pull them up. I do think that it's Gina towards Shannon because,
Oh.
like, Shannon was so there for Gina once they kind of reconciled. And then all of a sudden, Gina was like being weird towards Shannon, saying weird things towards Shannon, then also making a big deal about Shannon being jealous of her and making that whole put a pin in it thing blowing like way out of proportion. So yeah, I feel like Gina has something with Shannon.
I guess, I mean, Gina, or actually, Shannon's Mercury squares are Gina's Jupiter. So, like, Shannon's Mercury in Aries squaring Gina's Jupiter in Capricorn. I feel like Shannon would expect loyalty, but I think Gina is going to try to be very sort of like, these are certain morals I adhere to, even though maybe, Shannon, like, did her a solid at one point. Or like really was so loyal and bailed her out of like a tough situation. It's also interesting that they actually like I think have really lovely synastry, like Shannon's Jupiter is on Gina's Mercury. Like they have a lot of fun together. Shannon's Venus on her Sun.
Right,
Yeah,
that's
good
the it,
times.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I could go either way, I guess. as we're seeing.
Well, it's interesting with the Venus too, with like the idea of gossip and talking of Venus and Taurus like gossiping in like social settings. I know quite a few Venus and Tauruses who love the tea. I mean, we all love tea, but they extra love tea in my experience. But
I
yeah.
also, hold on, let me just okay, so Gina's got her Saturn in Scorpio, so I feel like that kind of what you were saying about how Gina just like sticks to like her moral, what's right, what she believes in, and Shannon's Neptune is kind of hovering over that. So I feel like it's like Shannon trying to, especially with the relationship, that's what everyone's getting so upset about, is Shannon like doesn't want to expose what's going on in her relationship. And it's, I feel like that is also really triggering Gina and Emily also. That like want to uncover the truth, which I actually find interesting because Gina herself during her relationship issues wasn't ready to expose that or talk about it. So to try to push someone into doing that before they're ready to do so.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's interesting that, that Shannon's Neptune, as you said, is like hovering over that Saturn, and but Gina also has her Mars in Scorpio, right? So like on the one hand, I feel like I can see the narrative of Shannon being the sort of compassionate, like spiritual guide for her, which we see. And then on the flip side, Gina sort of as an antagonizer, but bursting Shannon's bubble and delusion. So it's a very interesting synastry point between the both of them because it's like all fun and games until so, like
Until
I
it's
guess
not.
yeah.
Because that Mars, Shannon, sorry, Gina's Mars in Scorpio is also in opposition to Shannon's Venus in Taurus. So also this kind of again, like this energy that can have a lot of fun, but also very opposing if it's in opposition to what the other wants or is doing.
Yeah, and also like Mars and Venus, right? Like one's, put more masculine, one's more feminine, not gendering, but more energy around it. Venus is trying to make love and like harmony and bring people together. On the other hand, you have Mars, that can be more, like I said, antagonistic, aggressive, forceful, competition. And then I don't know. I mean, Mars and Scorpio, I think of an activity because Mars is such an action-oriented planet. It's like digging, and it really lends itself to that sort of like investigative quality. But also where you can see how she would be really, really good at keeping secrets of her own because she doesn't want to share. So very, very interesting.
Yeah, the masculine and feminine. Exactly. And yeah, so very much this can get along great, or we can be frenemies. I guess this is the frenemy energy.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I love when, I see like some interest, I mean, interesting, lesson oriented, like definitely a growing point for the both of them, like this relationship together, especially because Shannon's Juno in SAG is also on Gina's South Node in SAG. It's quite feisty, and I actually do look forward to seeing this relationship play out. I think they do have very interesting synastry that's actually, it's very complicated, right? To your point, because there's so much good, but then also when it's bad, it's bad. So I want to see this one up. Oh, and for the first time, I feel like Gina said something of merit in like a fight, or at least in this season thus far, where it was like, we are concerned about you or something. I don't know. She had like a mic drop moment in the middle of the fight this time, which I was like, oh, yes, girl, you finally have something. Because otherwise, I feel like she's been lackluster this season.
I've been enjoying her real estate journey. But I do go up and down with Gina because sometimes I do think, I don't know if it's her ego or what, but like all of a sudden she thinks that when she did it with Heather and she did it with Shannon, kind of like I was saying about Shannon earlier, where she kind of pushed her away and then was like making it seem like Shannon was being about all this drama and stuff like that. And then she did it with Heather, where Heather and her were like so close. And then this season, all of a sudden, just because Heather said that you can, like, you and my son could study together, which again, while that I could see why Gina was offended by that statement, like, you know that Heather has like these foot in mouth moments where she just doesn't realize that what she's saying is condescending or patronizing or any of these things. Like, because that's not how she intends them. Sometimes that's not how she
Sometimes
intends them.
I know
But
that
yeah.
she's very good at the front, but also very good at owning it. Like I see no reason for her to not, own it. But actually, speaking of owning it, holy shit, you saw this week too, obviously. Terry having his stroke, which thank God, everyone's okay. Sending so much healing energy over to Terry and crew.
I can't, because their son was there as well. It like happened while they were all at dinner together. And how scary to like just watch that happen in front of you. I've like had medical emergencies happen in front of me. It's just like the worst. It's the worst.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, but Terry did have some things hitting his chart. So this like took place 2 days after that full moon in Aquarius. So the sun was actually conjunct his Uranus. So like, shocking moment, something to disrupt what's going on. And then the moon at that time was conjunct Saturn on his MC. And as we know, like Terry really pushes and pushes and works a lot. And I think that this maybe, hopefully, for him is kind of this like wake up moment. He's had kind of a few over the years, but maybe this is what he really needed to like actually take a step back and chill out a little bit and just like enjoy everything that he's worked for finally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's also kind of crazy. Like, there's like so many other, not so many, but there are like other notable things hitting on a deeper level, even. I think you have Chiron, on that South Node, Chiron and Aries, activating that South Node potentially. In that 11th house, there's like a fear of the not making it to the future. There's like that survival fear. But what's also really interesting is so You've heard us talk about progressions on the show before, and progressions kind of describe sort of like internal transits, just, your evolving state through life. Like you have your natal chart, but the progressions kind of show you where exactly are you at that developmental stage, at various points in your life. So in his case, his progressed Sun and progressed Venus are actually in the sixth house of health. Progressed Sun, his evolving identity of self, Venus, how, his relationships, his values around work and diligence. And I mean, in the sign of Scorpio, you can be very, like I said, diligent about your work, like very intense. In the sixth house, so much of it is about health. It's about work-life balance if you take the sixth and 12th axis together. But what's also interesting is his progressed Mars, which is his literally Mars in Taurus, body, physical body, I would say, in that 12th house. And Uranus actually sitting right, transiting Uranus sitting on that progressed Mars in the 12th house. So again, a shocking hit to the body around, work and balance, and really understanding sort of these old scarcity type of mentality. Because if you have your south node in Aries, that's something I definitely see in with clients a lot. And especially he has his Mars in Taurus, so that scarcity to accumulate more and more and more, it's like maybe it's enough and maybe you should go retire. And that's sort of been like a huge storyline over the past few years. I like, oh, in 10 years, like when this house is built and whatever, I'll take some time and chill out. And you know what? Maybe this is the time. Get your pied-à-terre in LA, chill there and like not work so hard. You got bank.
That's for sure.
His progressed Mercury, his also like evolving information processing, was hitting his natal Saturn. So limits and boundaries in SAG, which can be sort of like over idealistic and overestimating your abilities sometimes. So there we go. Terry Dubrow, glad
Terry
you're okay.
DeBro. Yes,
Glad
yes.
you're okay.
Yeah, I was thinking about their relationship, and I feel like I want, of course, like you only see what you see, right? But like, I want a relationship like this. I think I might have said this before, but like, let me clarify personality-wise. Like, I am the Terry. Like, I will be the Terry in that relationship. So like, I need to find my Heather Dubrow personality, which is gonna be hard for me, as in dealing with that. Dealing with that.
I will say, I feel like I can potentially give off Heather Dubrow vibes sometimes just
Are you
by.
my Heather Duho?
Yeah, I think this is where we are. This is where we're at. We're Terry and Heather.
Oh
Although
my
I do like Shams, but not as much as she does.
God.
So that's because I don't. I'm cultivating my cap, North Node and cap. So I'm developing that taste for it.
Yes. Oh my
Too
God.
funny.
If we
Too
ever end
funny.
up at a Halloween party, this will be our couple's costume.
Oh my God, that's I'm so sad we did not get tickets to BravoCon. Cry, cry, cry. But you know what? Maybe that'll be the consolation. Halloween will just make something happen on our own.
Yes. But speaking of super wealthy people, I'm wondering if Candy helped impregnate Sonia. Like Sonia was trying to get pregnant. All of a sudden, there's this peach party, and now Sonia shows up at the reunion and she's got a bump.
I mean, I think what that's a theory. That's a theory. I mean, I remember Sonia's got Uranus activation going on. So, who knows? Who knows how this came about?
Did you watch that Watch What Happens Live with Brynn and Marlo?
No, I did not. But like, I saw a lot of content about it online. But I'm sure you did, because I feel like you're very good at watching the Watch What Happens Live. I'm like the tardy for the party person. Although I usually catch up on Wednesday nights, and unfortunately yesterday was tough.
No. I just love Andy Cohen. Like, Watch What Happens Live is what really got me into Bravo. But First of all, Marla was wearing this jewelry. It's like these huge Saturn, like gold Saturns, and then like kind of retro
Yeah.
looking earrings. I don't know if anyone else caught that because it was kind of, it was obvious, but also not that obvious. But
Love
yeah.
that, Aquarius.
I know, yes, I was thinking that, just so and so embracing it. So yes, I mean, it did come out that both of them have the same birthday, February 7th, so we would be remiss to not look at their synastry.
So this is also, for people listening, and it's like, oh, astrology, like I read my sun sign and we share the same birthday, but we're like so different. It's because there's so many other planets at play that factor into your particular flavor. So
Yes.
Bryn and Marlo would be a good example because they're about like almost, they're not like crazy far in age,
Like
right? Like,
11
I
years.
think. Yeah, so I feel like, you can kind of get a sense for, one generation up. I guess is 11 years one generation? I feel like that's close enough.
I think so. I never really understand generations, but like I feel like 10 years sounds right.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, let's see. Similarities off the bat, obviously, they're both Aquarius suns, and they both have Venus in Capricorn.
I could totally see that shared Venus and Capricorn with both of them. They both like the finer things in life, a little bit bougie, but interestingly, they both go after older, more established men. Venus, as you said, love, values, Capricorn, ruled by Saturn, kind of like that grandfather figure of the zodiac. So that is kind of interesting.
Yes. And this week, obviously, this Roni episode was very Bryn forward. And she shared her story, her upbringing, and that was like very, very, difficult to, watch and listen, but very, I'm so appreciative of her vulnerability because it's obviously not an easy thing to talk about. The strike, we don't know her rising, but we couldn't help but notice, obviously, that Venus Neptune symbolism in her natal chart. Neptune can sometimes be associated with grandparents, and with Venus relationships. And so to see that those, or at least that conjunction in the chart, that symbolism, was really special. And also, sending her so much love, obviously, her inner child so much love.
It also gives that Chiron in Gemini like a whole new flavor to it, hearing about what she went through in her childhood.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. I did enjoy Brynn more this week, even before she opened up. Like I saw the kind of more fun, just playful, innocent aspect of her that I think everyone else has been seeing, but for some reason was harder for me to get. But yeah, I loved when she was like trying to flirt with the chef, and then Sai was like, "He's married," and she was like, "Oh!" And then she goes over to the bartender, "Are you married?"
She knows what she's good at, and I fucking love it.
Yeah, but she also respects the boundary. Like, you're married, cool. Like, I'm not gonna cross that line. Like,
It's very flirty and fun, right? Like it's meant to be so overt that and in your face that it's not actually intentional flirting. It's just like chit chat more than anything, which I think is a very airy sign, right? And like Bryn does have this airy potential trine with that Gemini moon. It's actually interesting too, right? In Bryn's chart, she has like her Lilith in Cancer, like that rage, that family rage. But I mean, back to that lightheartedness, that was just something I noticed. I mean, that air trine with her South Node in Libra, her Gemini in Chiron, and her Aquarius sun. So she is always going to be attracting opportunities to her. I mean, engagement, numerous, proposals, things of that nature. Like she's just very charming. And usually a grand air trine in your chart supports that as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Marlo also has the grand air trine just with Sun in Aquarius, Mars in Gemini, and Pluto in Libra. So again, something that they both share, even though it's with different placements making up that trine.
Yeah, and you can kind of see, like the because the different flavoring of them, because Marlowe's definitely got more edge to her, and you can definitely see that plutonic sensibility come through in her interactions even. Her biggest fights also, with Candy about loyalty around like some really dark stuff, right? So, or heavy stuff, I should say. So interesting, the planet combinations flavoring the nature of the trine. It's interesting to see play out. And she has that
Yeah.
Mars, so it can be more antagonistic, maybe even.
Also, like I was looking at their Saturns, and I think it's interesting because, as Marlo said, they had a similar upbringing, being raised by their grandparents, the parents not really, being around to care for them. But we see that Marlo has her Saturn in Cancer, and she's kind of, well, she also has 10 years on Brynn, so there's time. But Marlo has come around to that Monty role that we see her in, and she does have this focus on family, which I think like she's wanted for a long time. She just like didn't get there in a traditional way before this. But then when we look at Brynn's Saturn, it's in Sagittarius, and she, like they mentioned in this episode, that she kind of runs away when it's time for kind of these more intimate family holidays or things. And like Sagittarius, notoriously traveler, someone who's just kind of like, I'm a Sagittarius rising. I wouldn't say we run from things, but we do feel like we'll seek something elsewhere. So that's just a little spin on how you can look at that.
LOL, I'm gonna just call it escapist because I have a Sag Moon too. So, I mean, here's the thing, I'm escaping into Bravo. So that's, very Sag Moon binge TV type of energy. Like, I'm about to go watch Below Deck. Well, actually, oh my God, the Down Under episode this week. I know
I haven't watched.
I've heard so many, I've read so many things. It's like kind of wild, and I know it's very dark. I don't know why this is my choice, but here I am. And then I'm going to be doing Survivor. This is a Sag Moon in grieving, let me tell you.
Oh.
But
Listen, as an emotional defined being in human design, like throwing yourselves into the emotion, in my opinion, is one of the most healthy things you can do, because that's how you like you feel it, you're in it, you process it, and then you can move on from it fresh.
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Also, and I don't know if it's like kismet. I mean, I definitely it's not coincidental, but like I have just been needing to listen to a bunch of Ariana Grande songs over the last few days, given all like the random coverage I've done on her. And I'm just like, oh my God, these songs are really hitting right now. Oh, but anyway, back to Bravo, back to Bravo. Anything else you want to say about Brynn and Marlowe? That was a little poem.
No, I mean, like, of course we could go on, but I feel like it's a good little bite.
But actually, I think the last thing I did want to highlight was their trines are kind of interestingly placed. They're kind of on top of each other. So, for example, Pluto in Marlowe's chart is on Brynn's South Node
South
in
Node.
Libra. Marlowe's Mars in Gemini is on Brynn's Chiron, potentially Moon, maybe, we don't know. And then, obviously, conjunct suns.
Right. Yeah.
Very interesting.
I would
I would
love to
love to
see the
see.
two of them again. Yeah.
Yes, I would actually love to see them like on a girls' trip or something. Like, where they get
Yes.
more interaction to see how this air trine plays out, because I think they definitely would be very fun. But again, like the plutonic triggering and the Mars.
And the Mars on the Chiron, like both of those things could be very explosive.
Yeah,
Or
yeah.
super healing. It could
I
kind
mean,
of,
definitely, definitely.
yeah. So, okay, if anyone from Bravo listens to us, please coordinate that.
Yeah, I can even see, to your point, healing. I can see Marlowe being this plutonic figure, like helping Brynn navigate her family, issues. And you know, I feel like it's just such a lovely, you know what, it has just such good potential to be a moment, to be a beautiful, beautiful healing moment, to your point.
Yeah, totally.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So what does that leave us with?
Jessel, oh my God.
Jessel.
This week, I mean, also sidebar, we believe Jessel was born in 1983, because last week, if you were listening, we were like, we don't really know which specific year, but the Marie Claire magazine article that came out this week said she is 40, so that is what we're going with. So I am citing my sources because I got Venus in Virgo and Mars in Virgo. But this is our continued first look at the New York Housewives. Last week we did Psy, which leaves us with Jessel, babe. How are you feeling about Tribeca is an up-and-coming neighborhood Jessel?
I'm intrigued. She definitely has this like lack of social awareness that it's like similar to Heather, but different. Like both of them are unaware that what they're saying is being so ill received on the other end. But whereas Heather comes off as patronizing, condescending, hoity-toity, Jessel comes off as bitchy and like critical and like just cranky, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you have like a set of twins or, you know, two at a time, that is just going to be really, really like, just I can't imagine where my energy is going with that, you know. So I'll give her some credit on the crankiness and whatnot, but yes, she definitely, I think, lacks some social EQ. Although, here's the thing, that conversation that she had with Aaron in the kitchen about how Erin like had come from her grandmother's funeral, and Jessel was just kind of very like flippant about it, or maybe she thinks it's, you know, being courteous, like you ask the right questions. And you know, at the end of the day, Jessel has a Taurus stellium. You know, she has Sun in Taurus, Mars in Taurus, Mercury retrograde in Taurus, and Chiron in Taurus. So like, we're talking about her lacking some social EQ, maybe that Mercury retrograde in her chart natally kind of jumps out at me, and the fact that it's on top of her Mars, like her action and how she is at parties and things like that, and her interactions. And on her Sun, I mean, it's like very, very, very funny. I've definitely gotten into these conversations with some Tauruses before, and I've always just been like, why are you so unemotional about this?
Yeah, I was also looking at her Venus conjunct her North Node in Gemini in opposition to Neptune in Sagittarius. So like again, I mean we say this all the time, Neptune like a haziness, a deception, like not seeing things clearly in Sagittarius, like you're very opinionated, opposing a Venus in Gemini, like oh I have Venus in Gemini. We also, it's like we're very strong about what we believe. And it like, oh God, it's just like I'm right. I know what's right. Like this is what this opposition is saying to me. And I also find it interesting that like her, a lot of her placements, I'm not looking at all the asteroids or anything like that, which is kind of like the generic placements that we look at, the basic, the prime placements we look at, they're all like in these conjunctions. So it's not like her chart isn't so spread out. It's like we have these very tight conjunctions happening. It's like everything is tied to another planet and nothing's speaking independently, even before you start adding in aspects.
Yeah, which makes her very, very interesting because it's so layered in how things can manifest. I mean, her Jupiter and Uranus, I mean, obviously, like, who else? Uba has Jupiter and Uranus in Sag as well. Like, it's interesting the fact that there are two of them on the same cast, and they happen to be two international. The new era Roni is like quite interesting, I think.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I wouldn't have thought of it that way, but I love that. She had oh well, we don't know where her moon is, which is sad. I hope that we see it being revealed, but From what we've seen and the fact that it could be an Aquarius moon, I could kind of see that because she does seem a little detached, and that social awkwardness, like again, like I also have an Aquarius moon, like, and I can relate to that social awkwardness of not knowing what to say, or like it feels like she's kind of just like checking off the boxes in that conversation with Erin. This very like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, how was it? Oh, did you have a good time? It's like she's just checking off the box, and then when she's checked all those boxes, she just like turns and walks away.
Oh my gosh.
Just...
I read, or some people have told me, like, Jessel kind of gives off Ramona vibes. It would actually be interesting to do a
Ooh.
Ramona Jessel comparison.
Jessel has Pluto. Yeah, she's got Pluto in Libra, so maybe this is kind of that, just trying to like that checks and balances of like, okay, have I done that social etiquette of my Libra-ness? But then her Saturn is in Scorpio.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like that, okay, but now I'm done and I'm ready to cut this off. It's like I've done the social etiquette and now I'm ready to cut this off and just like move on.
Oh, very interesting. See, I like, I mean, obviously, we highlighted the Taurean stellium that she has. That is like such a, I mean, Tauruses just want to move on. Like, you want to just like say it and then like kind of move on. You don't want to like necessarily talk about it, the same way that Erin, who has her Mercury in Cancer retrograde, also would want to potentially talk about it or talk about it out loud. And Erin is also a Cancer sun, so as someone with a Cancer sun, I told like I understand just wanting more sensitivity and space in the conversation. But it just seems very sterile and cold, and it's not necessarily helping after you've kind of just, were being rude, or, not necessarily being rude. You might have not thought you were being rude, but everyone else perceived you feeling a certain way about that Christmas dress lingerie situation. I don't know. It's interesting to see these energies play out, and especially because, like, I've definitely experienced this in my real life too.
Yeah, well, that is interesting because I feel like with a bunch of Mercury and Taurus people that I know, they like definitely hold on to things and like can't let it. It's like they have to keep, and to me it's like that very like that fixed nature of I'm getting my point across, I'm getting my point across, and especially if there's a back and forth, they're just gonna keep saying that same thing. So it's like final word, final word. Like I'm like Malcolm, just
That
keep
is
same
hilarious.
fucking thing because like this I've said what I needed to say. I don't have anything more to say, but I need to keep stating it so that like I feel like it's heard because you're still talking with more points and like I just like need to still be in this conversation.
Right. That's too funny.
I don't know how I didn't like think of this before, but she's got that Venus North Node in Gemini and she has twins like at the most
Yes.
basic level.
Yeah, I wonder if it's in like her fifth house, that would put her as an Aquarius rising, which would be really interesting.
I'm looking forward to getting to know her more. I'm looking forward to seeing more of her and her husband. I hope they get that little staycation
Yeah.
that she mentioned. Also, the way that she phrased that, like, we need to get you laid. Like, not like
Yeah.
we need to have time together. We need to get you laid.
She is hilarious. I mean, initially I think I was a little turned off, but honestly, I actually appreciate her, what she brings to the show from a chaos or just such a counter going against the grain perspective, Clearly she's kind of also like maybe getting singled out, and maybe Uba's like kind of like her closer friend or something. I don't know. But I guess we'll just see like how the season progresses. I did think that her conversation with Parveet was really funny about the public school situation.
Oh yeah, we're gonna pay for them to mop the floor and do the dishes, and because like that's definitely what Montessori is—they just do chores and things.
I mean, I think that's like so Jessel's Jupiter Uranus and then Neptune on the South Node, like Jessel was defo rich in a past life, like come from like royalty, wealth, abundance, like overt amount of it. And she definitely like is gonna, in this lifetime kind of come in with that sort of mentality. And then with all like that Taurean placement too, like the materiality spent around, your child investment, and how it can create more like networking opportunities. Like that's such a Venusian thing. And to think of her Venus in Gemini connecting, as you said earlier, like pointing to her twins, but also now connecting to other people via her twins. Just an interesting point in her chart, I think.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely looking forward to seeing more. Also, like Uba and that hot sauce, it's funny because she was on my Unorthodox Life on Netflix. I guess she was with Elite
Oh,
Model or Elite? Is that what Julia Hart ran? Anyway, whatever like modeling agency she ran, Uba was one of her models, and she was like talking about how she like helps bring up her models and encourages them to be entrepreneurs because your looks aren't going to last. And the person that they featured was Uba and her hot sauce. So I just thought that was really funny.
I really want to buy her hot sauce now. Always, I'm in the market for a good hot sauce, and especially because it's hot, legit hot. You know what? I was actually very touched by her also vulnerability and willingness to share. This was like a really good episode, honestly. Like equal parts fun, light, equal parts like real. You got to know them on a more personal level. I empathize with Uba. Losing a parent fucking sucks, and you're never too old to lose a parent, really. It's interesting, in a chart, we're talking about this hot sauce and like going back to a lighter topic, walking it back slowly. But I love that she has an Aries moon, I think, if we have it right. And the idea of an Aries moon owning your own hot sauce is like chef's kiss. I love that.
Yeah, she's got a grand fire trine. So we were speaking of the grand air trine before. Well, this is not by sign. She has grand air trine by sign.
Actually, depending on her moon. Oh, actually, no, you're right. Oh, no,
Yeah.
depending on her moon, it could be a proper, but yeah, by sign, she's definitely very, very, she can defo. Well, actually, you know what I think? Holy shit. I think she had, didn't she say she had like an issue with Vicky? Because I see a grand air trine or a grand fire trine or a fire trine. I think Vicky immediately as my reference.
Oh, interesting. I don't remember. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because Vicky has
I
problems
think.
with people.
Yeah, I think Uba said that Vicky was rude to her. So I feel like it's a battle of the Grand Air Trine. So I'm the Grand Fire Trine, excuse me. So if that's the case, very interesting. Very interesting. But
Just give us
but
more girls' trips. All the girls' trips, but make them good, please, because I feel like I keep
well.
saying that and then they end up not being good at all.
Well, didn't you see like Legacy is coming back instead of Girls Trip 4?
Doesn't mean it's gonna be good. Like, I at this point, I'm not even getting my hopes up. I'd rather be pleasantly surprised than disappointed one more time.
That's fair. That's very fair. That's very
Yeah.
fair. But anywho, I
Yeah.
think that is all I have in me this week for
Yeah.
the episode. I'm so thankful for you, for the people listening. It's always really lovely to receive such beautiful messages in our DMs, and it's nice to have like a little mini community, just everyone, on the Bravo astrology pop culture train. So I'm so appreciative of this vessel at this moment in my life, but I'm also very grateful to you, Emma. Thank you for being a co-host and walking me through this journey. Yeah, I appreciate you so much. So anyway, if it's more pop culture content, Bravo astrology content you're seeking, follow us at the Cosmic Clubhouse on Instagram.
Well, we and I appreciate you, and I appreciated Sasha's purrs in the background, and we'll forever have them with us. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. I have a feeling we might have some bonuses coming out soon now that summer is kind of winding down. And yes, rate, leave reviews, all those fun things, and we will see you back here next week. Bye.
Bye.